This is labeled, this is GTN Memories, Strawberry Hill House, Horace Wilder.
I guess I ought to tell you about the time I got thrown out of the Strawberry Hill Hotel. But maybe I better give you a little background on it. The Strawberry Hill Hotel was run by Mr. and Mrs. Barrett, Henry Barrett, and Esther Violet Victoria Muncaster Barrett, his wife. They had two sons. We won't dwell on Bill Barrett, he was very young, but Joe Barrett was just my age. And we were, as you might expect, some pals, and we'd been to school, various schools together, and there was also a hotel a little further along in Bethlehem known as the Alpine, and was owned by Mr. and Mrs. Chesley, who also owned the Arlington Hotel. And they had two children, Dorothy Chesley and William Chesley, who was another boy, classmate of Joe and I, so that made three of us. And Mrs. Chesley was a very proud person. We will come back to her later. Anyway, Turner's Tavern, of course, was run by the Turners, and my mother, and all those, and my aunts, and so on. And we had a little system whereby, after dinner night, I would go out and play around the town until 9:30. I know that sounds like a very early hour, but the idea is that then I would come home, back to the lobby of the hotel, and my mother would retire. She would handle the lobby till 9:30, then I would take over. So I didn't have very long to play around town, but I had the family car. So very often I would go up to the Strawberry Hill and pick up Joe, and we would go tooting around and have a little fun, but I would let him out early enough to get home by 9:30. Well, it seems Joe had sometimes it was some girls that we would take to ride, but we couldn't get any really wild parties going in such a short time. But I went up one time, and Joe had this very attractive girl. He didn't have her in the Strawberry Hill. I've forgotten how we got together, but she was a waitress at the Alpine where the Chesleys ran the hotel. And she was a judge's daughter from over in Vermont, and she was a very nice girl, and I gather that it was a nice family. She was very pretty. And Joe, and her name was Jackie. And Joe and Jackie got into the back seat of the our family Buick. And I think I may have had a little company in the front seat, but right now I don't remember who it was. It's not too important to the story. Well, we played around a while and joked and talked, and finally it came time that I should go home to Turner's Tavern. And so anyway, I went up to the to let Joe out at the Strawberry Hill. I guess we dropped Jackie somewhere, I don't know where, I've forgotten. And Joe says, come on in, it won't be but a minute. And I thought, well, I can spare a couple minutes more. My mother doesn't hold me to the minute at the office. And so I went in with him. It seems that they had a little problem in the Strawberry Hill about some guests that had arrived when Joe was out with me, and they hadn't known what rooms to put them in, and they came near to losing the party if they didn't lose them all together because they weren't organized. Mr. and Mrs. Barrett didn't know what to do with them. So I went in there, and Joe was trying to straighten it out, and Henry Barrett came to me and he said, George, you go home. And I felt like saying, well, yes, just as soon as you get out of my path, I'll get into that car of ours and I will start for Turner's Tavern. But just then, Esther, Violet, Victoria, Muncaster, Barrett, who was fairly plump, got right in the doorway and blocking my path to get out. And she said, "Don't you ever darken our doors again for the trick you played on us tonight." Well, I didn't know what trick I had played on them, and Joe and I had been out for a very innocent drive, and it seems that the situation had got all mixed up due to Joe's not being there, and she laid most of it on to me. Well, I finally got by Esther, Violet, Victoria, Muncaster, Barrett, and got out and got the Buick started, and I went to Turner's Tavern. Well, when I walked in my mother's office, she was just hanging up the telephone, and she had a funny look on her face, and she said, "Well, I see you came home." Well, I knew then what had happened. Esther, Violet, Victoria, Muncaster, Barrett had called her and given her a piece of her mind about my coming around with a big car and taking Joe and leading him astray. Well, if I could lead Joe astray, I would have to be pretty bad. But anyway, my mother, I guess, gave Esther, Violet, Victoria, Muncaster, Barrett a fair piece of her own mind about how that I always came home early, and she didn't think I could get Joe or anybody else into much trouble in that time. I don't know exactly how my mother worded it, but she didn't take it meekly, and she hung up the phone and greeted me coming in the door. Well, we laughed a bit about it. We were also quite disgusted. Well, now, this isn't the end of the story. It seems this girl by the name of Jackie was a waitress up at the Alpine. So Esther, Violet, Victoria, Muncaster, Barrett calls up Sarah Chesley, and she, I don't know the words she used, but she objected strenuously to them keeping a waitress working there who was playing around with her Joseph. To the net result that finally the Chesleys fired poor Jackie, and she had to go over to Vermont and lick her wounds. And also that Joe wouldn't be led astray with my help and Jackie's help. Jackie wrote me a letter sometime later and said she couldn't understand. She thought she was good enough to go out with that son of the Barretts. And she was a daughter of a judge over there in Vermont. She didn't know why she wasn't nearly as good as the Barretts were. And I showed the letter to Joe. I guess that's about the end of the story, but it was a kind of a laugh when you stop to think of it. My standing there getting thrown out of there and told not to darken their doors again. Well, that seems to be the end of that story. Marilyn, did you think of another story you wanted me to tell?
Oh, tell who Horace Wilder was.
Who was?
Horace Wilder.
Oh, yes, that's right, too. I was telling you about the town clock. The town clock is located on what is now Oddfellows Hall. You've heard me sing Oddfellows Hall, I'm sure. Well, anyway, Oddfellows Hall was originally the Congregational Church. And the Wilders did live opposite it, on Maple Street in Bethlehem. And Mrs. Knight, Mr. Wilder's daughter, after I suppose Mr. Wilder had died, put the clock up there in memory of her father, Horace Wilder. And if you count up the letters in Horace Wilder, you'll see you have 12, and they're put right around the face of the clock instead of numbers. And the clock was a very nice thing. It struck all the hours, and we could hear it all over town. Eventually, people objected to that, but when I was a boy, I could tell from the clock striking when I better put for home if I'd be late for supper. And one day, I asked my mother, What did Horace Wilder, I could see his name up there, what did he ever do to merit his having his name up there? My mother said, well, I don't know. The only thing I can think of he ever did to make his name famous was he went to Littleton one night, of course, with his horse and sleigh, and I guess he got a hold of some liquor out there and got a little bit drunk, and he drove home, and he was putting his horse away, as all men had to do when they came home with a horse and sleigh, and in the process, of course, he was supposed to put a blanket on his horse. It was winter time, but he made a mistake and put the blanket on the cow, and the horse got sick and died, and my mother didn't know, but of course she was being a little bit facetious, but she gave me that idea about that. Well, Horace Wilder had, I want to tell you this because we get into our own family with it. Wasn't a very close relative, but Horace Wilder and his wife had two daughters. They had Nellie Knight is the one that put the clock up, but she don't count in this story particularly. She was their daughter, all right. Married Len Knight, and they were a nice couple and all like that. But there was also twin girls, and they were named Minnie and May Wilder. Well, we speak about May first. She married a man by the name of Warden, and they had three very nice sons. They were a little older than I. Even the youngest was about 2 years older than I, but they were very nice young men, and an addition to the town, and they went to the church in town, and Billy, anyway, played in the band and all those things. They were quite an addition to the community. And Mr. Warden died, and May Warden was bringing up these boys, and she had an appointment as postmaster of the town. And with that, she was getting along and bringing up the boys and doing all right. And the other twin girl was named Minnie, and she married William Turner. Now, William Turner was my grandfather's younger brother. Now, he was a lot younger. He was 14 years younger than my grandfather. Somewhat of a problem to my grandfather because his mother and father wanted to pamper William a little bit. My grandfather was left with a lot of work to do, so there was a continual scrap over whether William would be allowed to go and play ball or stay home and split wood. And usually the ball playing won out. But anyway, William Turner married May Wilder, and in due time, they had a son, Hugh Turner, and he was a nice-appearing young man and fairly contemporary with these Warden boys. I remember Uncle William and Aunt Minnie and Hugh came up to see us one time, and Hugh stayed down with the Wardens to be with the boys, and Uncle William and Aunt Minnie stayed up with the Turners. So you see there was a connection between Horace Wilder of the horse fame, horse and cow fame, and the Turners, which is rather interesting. Is there anything more that I should say to put that story on to sleep that you know of, Marilyn?
Oh. How about the clock? Years later, what they found out about the clock?
Oh, yes, yes. In 1940, the Congregational Church had been closed for quite a long while. The clock was still there, but it wasn't working. And the Odd Fellows had an opportunity to buy the church for $500. We were going to have to spend several times that amount on it to build it over, adapt it to our needs. In fact, we had agreed with the Congregational Society to take down the steeple when we bought it. Anyway, to give credit where credit is due, the Churchill brothers, mostly Warren Churchill, paid the $500 and in fact gave us several hundred dollars to start our program of building over. And so, and we were going to take down the steeple, clock and all. Clock wasn't running. Nobody could remember who Horace Wilder was, and we thought that was probably going to be a good thing. But just before we did it, they had town meeting, and they got sentimental in town meeting. A man by the name of Harry Goodwin wrote a poem about the old village clock and so forth, and they raised $1,000, town money, to put the clock back in order. Well, so here were the Oddfellows, were left with having to keep the clock there. I said we ought to tell them to get their clock off my property. But I didn't have any help with that idea among my fellow Oddfellows. They thought if the town wanted to fix the clock, they'd ought to leave it there. So they, in due time, they got a man from a clock company up here, and his name was Rosen. He, too, was an Oddfellow, so, of course, he came and sat down with us down in Oddfellows Hall. So we got him to talking about, of course, he was working on the clock, and he went up and looked it all over, and he said the only thing to do to it was take the old works out of it and electrify it. And as you all know, electric clock is very simple compared to a mechanical clock. And he was about to do it, and so anyway, that's what he did, but it never worked, and that's another story. But in the process, we asked him a lot about the clock and how much he thought it cost when it was new. And he said, well, it might have cost $1,000, he didn't know. But this clock, he said, was a used clock when it was put up there. So the secret came out. Mrs. Knight had bought a used clock to put up in memory of her father. And we all chuckled a little bit over that. Because Mrs. Knight was had plenty of money, but she and her husband liked to pinch the pennies a little bit. There's a story around that when Leonard was sick in his last illness, and she was sitting there talking with him, and she said, now I'm going out to the kitchen to see that lamb I'm cooking is all right, but if you feel yourself slipping, turn out the light.